told me that I was adopted.
You're adopted.
Said I had a mother that was a lesbian.
Your mother's a good-for-nothing fucking lesbian.
Said my real mother's a famous podcaster.
Your mom's mad wife.
Out there on the internet. She said her
Madge, this is your cousin from Red Bank, New Jersey. I have a very sore throat. I'd like to know, what do you suggest I use for it? I've got a terrible cold. My throat is killing me. It feels as if I've been gargling with used razor blades. And I can't sleep. Please help. Thank you. Bye.
Jess, a novella by Matthew Burlingame. Available at SpankingBArthur.com, TheFreakNetwork.com, and TheRainbowPodSquad.com.
God, did I bloat my shit.
The funny thing about that bitch is she still thinks she's hot. She still thinks it's 77 and she's on the
mental rack. She got a leather, a red leather suit on her. What the fuck is wrong with that shit on her? Hey, her period tastes like toothbrush, Bobby.
Stinks good, really, lesbians and gentlemen.
Ooh. And Bailey wants to fuck.
Hello. That was, of course, Daniel Johnston, you know, the Desperate Man Blues from his album, which I actually encourage purchasing. Go to yipirecords.com. The guy's still alive. I was wrong about him before. I watched the documentary the other day called The Devil and Mr. Johnston with a T. I highly, 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 highly recommend it. You have to see this movie. This is a real amazing story, just for so many reasons, not only for me personally, but just for the world. And I think this is something that you would miss without knowing it, okay? How's your clitoris doing out there, everyone? I've had a rough day. Not for any particular reason, just because... Torrent Lounge misses me. No, that's not why. That was just an email that came in. Yeah. Let's do some lips meditation and talk about nothing for a second. Maybe then I can get my act together. But there's some similarities between Anthony. This thing is Daniel Johnston. Now, I might be getting his name mixed up when I say it with Anthony and the Johnstons, but that's a totally different thing. But he, his story, it was a little bit scary for me because he's a brilliant bipolar guy, basically. He's bipolar disorder, completely wacky artist. But then what happened is he went overboard when he was hanging out with the Butthole Surfers and took some LSD. And he basically, as I understand, and what, this is what I get out of it anyway, is that he kind of went on a bad trip and never came out of it. And what I found particularly alarming was the similarity to my own experience, where I had a very bad trip similar to his, but I did come out of it. And I think, at least I think I did, but, you know, I think that my story could have turned into his very easily had I just not come out of that bad acid trip. And fortunately, I stopped doing it after that, really, the one time. Because, yeah, I joke about the acid, but, you know, it's the one drug, I think, well, there's so many drugs. And for me, it's easy to preach. But even when I did drugs and drank, I still preached against acid. I think it's so dangerous. I think when you take it, you have no idea what you're really messing with. Because if you really get an acid trip, then, you know, that's like a, yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, it's not something that's very good, in my opinion. Not good. Now, I know a lot of people will, yeah, I've had this discussion with people a million times. This is why I don't bring it up. But people that like the acid, they say, oh, no, it's great. You just don't know how to deal with it. You're negative. And it's like, no, you were just probably stupid. And you just, you know, are only getting it to a certain level, because when you take the acid trip to a deeper level, you just completely destroy all semblance of material, of the material world, and you're just stuck with raw reality, which, you know, doesn't really work. Certainly not in the mind of a teen. I don't know, this isn't making any sense, but anyway, that's not the point. You know, and that probably didn't make sense. It's probably bullshit, but whatever. But that doesn't matter. But what I wanted to, what the creepy thing was, there was one particular incident in which, you know, he's going around after his bad acid trip, and his family has a Christmas tree. And, you know, being the weird acid trippy person that Daniel Johnston is, he puts, instead of an ornament, everybody else puts a little ugly ornament made from China in the seasonal aisle at the Walgreens. he puts as his ornament the Beatles album, the White Album. And then as another album, he puts just a big black number 9, like the way you'd, with one of those numbers that you'd label a mailbox or something, you know? Just a black number 9, real ugly. So his, I don't know, his brother, I think, his brother took went and took down, started to take off, I think it was the album, either the album or the number 9, doesn't matter. And then Daniel grabbed his brother with superhuman strength, described it, and threw his brother. Just grabbed him with one hand and threw him. Now, what's weird is I had the same thing happen to me, but for me, it was Janis Joplin. Because I wonder if this, I have it. It's not on that album I've been playing. Let's see. Oh, gosh, I do have it. Oops. So anyway, so this is the song. What happened is when I was tripping on the acid, you know, I took way too much, first of all, because I didn't know, you know, it wasn't working. And sometimes with the acid, I guess it can take 2 hours, 3 hours. I mean, it's just such a weird thing. So at first I saw it, we were watching The Honeymooners, and the Jackie Gleason's face started just, going squishing across the, you know, just started boop. You know, like Jell-O or something. I can't describe it. But I mean, I could if I wanted to, but I don't really give a shit. Okay, I kind of do, but don't. But anyway, but then this song that I'm about to play while I started was playing on the stereo. And when my friend Tim, and it wasn't, I've talked about LSD before, you know, it could have been a good thing when under real clinical supervision, but as a recreational drug, it's extremely dangerous. And there ain't no clinical supervision as far as I know for it. At least not that I know. But anyway, whatever. I'm not your fucking, your mommy, whatever. Okay. As you can see, recreational LSD use did not exactly cure the baby boomers of evil doings. So anyway, so this song was playing on the turntable. And my friend, and you know, when I was really getting into it in a kind of an acid way, I was, you know, implying all this meaning. And then Tim went to take the needle off this record. And I literally grabbed him by the head and threw him. This is me, just a little lesbian. I grabbed this man's head and I threw him. And then I proceeded to have a Rosemary's Baby scene, took off my clothes, got arrested, all this. I didn't even want to go there yet. I'm not prepared. Even though I've done this show for this long, I don't even really want to go into detail on all that. Maybe I have. I don't remember, but I don't. Anyway, this was the song.
Yeah.
You know, it's very weird. This incident I was telling you about is probably about 25 years ago, I would say. About 25 years ago. And lesbianism aside. And I still, to this day, get nervous hearing the song because I'm afraid I'll have a flashback. That's how powerful this drug is. And if you think, oh, it's just because I'm weak-willed or something like that, well, you're wrong. You're just wrong. So, yeah. Oh, Simon Toon, I got his T-shirt, and I will definitely be wearing it on you'll see on Insane Films. You'll definitely be seeing the beautiful T-shirt from Simon Toon of the, what the fuck? Hello, who is this? See? Flashback. What the hell?
Hello?
Flashback.
Hello? 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 Hello?
It wasn't even a baby, it turns out. It wasn't a baby at all. It was an enlarged prostate. I'm not even a man. I'm not a man. Honestly, I'm more afraid of the pain than anything else. I'm not afraid of dying. I know I will see a beautiful light, and I know the Lord will call me home. What I'm afraid of is that the Lord is not Advil.
Okay.
The Lord won't stop him from hurting.
I'm still here. These are some old man Burgess clips, these, that I don't even know if I ever played them, but they're funny, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, shut up with your trans crap.
Betty, hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you, Evan. Wait, mom needs to get through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of my honey, Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want to tell him over there?
He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My knight in shining armor, I was almost down the street, and he just came in and rescued me, paid for the moving van and everything else, and, oh, yeah. 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 I'm so up here.
I'd just like to hear Wind Beneath My Wings. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So how long have you been together with Bobby now?
It's gone on 3 years.
And this is the love of your life?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let me see what I can play for you, too. You have a good night.
And what's your name?
I'm Delilah, the host of the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I asked her for Delilah before, and she said her name was Jill.
Well, Jill's the person who answers the calls.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this piece in the background is from Maximilian, a listen turd. This is all old shit that I'm finding from my bloated lesbian account. I forget to mention, though, a very important announcement because I've been so self-absorbed. Jennifer Snoddy, the girl on tech, had a baby boy named Harrison, and everybody's healthy, and it's wonderful. So congratulations to Jennifer Snoddy, the girl on tech, and her lovely husband, Wade, and all the family. Very happy and very relieved, to be quite frank. I want to see what else this Matt Burgess stuff, where did that go? Where the fuck is it?
I send her Valentines. And I sign them with all the love that's in my heart. All the love I have to give, I give to Jean Anderson on King 5 Local News.
For disease control and prevention, up to 30% of kids are overweight, and childhood obesity has more than doubled in recent decades. That is troubling for the program that is symbolized by a character with a very bad diet.
Dum-de-dum-de-dum. Hey, what that? That looked like... Oh, yeah. Cookie. Yeah.
Cookie Monster and other puppets will be getting lessons in exercise and healthy eating when Sesame Street begins a new season next week.
You know that eating mango is healthy for you.
Well, dancing the tango's
great. Are you kidding me?
Hey, let's both eat mango and then dance a tango.
And then kill ourselves by
this
taking
healthier
too
programming
much
was developed with the help of Rosemary Trulio, who's in charge of research and education for Sesame Street.
In the last 5 years, elevated cholesterol and type 2 diabetes has tripled among preschoolers. Those findings have really prompted us to really turn up the dial on health.
When we asked to talk about that, the folks at Sesame Street not only sent us the head researcher, they also sent us two of the program's stars.
Oh, that reminds me of a story. You know, I used to work in the hospital years ago, and somebody told me the story. I did not witness this firsthand, but that there was an obese homeless woman who came in. I don't know if she was homeless or she was just crazy and lived in a terrible place or what. She had like these creases of fat all over her, and they lifted up the creases of fat, and there were cockroaches living in the rolls, inside the rolls of fat. And then she had these big bites. You know, in a hospital, you hear all kinds of terrible stories. Now, one thing that did happen, which I did witness, not directly, but it happened while I was working there, and, you know, I It happens. Trust me, lesbians and gentlemen. But it happened. What happened is this. We, you know, in this neighborhood, and I've lived here forever, and not forever, but you know, like, long time. It's a freakazoid zone, and that's one of the things that caused me to move back to Chicago from the Amsterdam. Because you'd think Amsterdam, with all the drugs, that everybody's nuts there, but it's not, because they don't have the same level of homelessness. I love Chicago because it's, I've never found a city more full of freaks in my life. People here are insane. And if you're the type of person like me who loves to just people watch and look at crazy people talk to themselves and wear pretty outfits that don't make, you know, and crazy clown makeup on these women that walk around and go to the same diner every day.
This is Ms. Dizici.
Drink coffee and then look to the side to see who's watching them. And then, you know, all these crazy people are all in my neighborhood.
2.5 years
ago. And when I lived in Holland and I was homesick, that's the stuff I thought about. I mean, I would watch Jerry Springer and tears would come to my eyes because of the freaks. So anyway, that's why I love Chicago. What was I talking about? I don't even remember.
Probably the
chicken. I was thinking about the Popeye's chicken because that's where all the freaks are. Wilson and Broadway is a special, especially good freak zone, and there's a Popeye's chicken.
All true.
And when I'm really
still
in a terrible
true
mood and I really want to destroy my body and my cholesterol levels, I go there and I get a big chicken with biscuits.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, so this other hospital story was there was a woman, a patient, and she was in a room and she came in, you know, with her stuff. And well, the nurse came in, and the woman had been there, I think, a couple days already. And the nurse came in and noticed that her bag, her valise, was moving slightly. And the nurse said, "What, you know, what's going on there?" She said, "Don't touch that." And she was moving again, and the nurse took it, and the woman started getting really upset. "Don't touch that, don't touch that." So she opened it, and there was a chicken in there, a live chicken.
This is true.
And the woman started screaming. This is a, you know, she said, "Don't touch it, don't touch it, that's Fifi. That's Fifi, my chicken, my baby." And she started screaming. And the nurse said, "Sorry, ma'am, we can't have a chicken in here. We have to take it away. And we'll keep it safe for you." So she just started screaming and going crazy. And then they had to call security, of course. They called security, and the woman got so upset. I think she thought she was a chicken because she started rocking around the hospital. I'm not making this up. In her hospital gown. And then she took a big shit on the floor. So they ended up putting the chicken in the switch room, the telephone switch room, until she was out of the hospital and gave it back. So that's another chicken. That's a chicken story. You know, this hospitals are weird. Oh, that reminds me of a story. You know, I used to.
Wow, that was a hidden Zici I forgot about. That's very nice to find that. But what I'm looking for is something that the story writer of late, the very talented story writer, whose name escapes me, but, oh, here, is this it? No. Oh, that's fucking disgusting. It's another goddamn prolapse. So who was it that wrote a story? Let's see. I don't know. That person that sent, I read something, I am just so brain dead, I don't remember, what was it? Oh, who cares, I have to talk for myself. But somebody sent a nice poem, and now I don't, poem. You know what makes me sad? I don't really care about, you know, I mean, you certainly, most of you know me for a long time now, and you know that I am perfectly able to leave things in the past, and oftentimes I have to change the way I do things, even though things are going fine, and with regard to the show, of course, not life, God forbid, because my vagina hurts and everything. No, because, you know, it's got to change, but this, but with respect to people, it makes me a little bit sad, you know, because the way that my relationships, even during the time I've been podcasting, have changed, it makes me a bit wistful, you know? I mean, I think the only person who I've had a consistent relationship with is probably Prerol, which is pathetic because she's also the ugliest person that I know. Okay. But you see, and some listeners who I barely know, but I have a very close relationships with, you know who you are, close but distant. You know, I really like those kinds of relationships where you know hardly anything about the person, or I do, but, you know, but it's still there. It's almost like safer that way, you know? Because then you get to fantasize about this, these people, you know? Just to fantasize about, you know, what would it be really like to meet these people, and, you know, just... There's a little bit of mystery there, which is nice, but, you know... The thing is, like, I guess this is what it comes down to, is I really, 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 really miss doing the Eat the Set show with Reagan and Wanda. And it just, I'm just sad that that fell apart, really. I mean, it, you know, we could have kept it together, but it just didn't happen. You know, I mean, I don't think it's fair to blame anybody, really, seriously, but... You know, that's one thing that has gone into the past in the wayside that I really don't think belongs there. That's one thing, you know, girdle spillover that belongs in the past. All those other silly things, you know, King Jesus belongs in the past, you know, those things. This.
I like it in the pot.
Well, that belongs in the present because that's where I just found it. But you know what I mean? I mean, I guess I've just been depressed lately, you know, because it's... This time of year is rough because this is when Gussie got sick. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like this feeling of despair. Truly, truly, it's horrible. And I'm just devastated as I was, you know, 2 years ago. I'm just as devastated right now, honest to God. And there's not a goddamn thing I can do about it, not that I know of. And, you know, and I'm really twisted and upset because, you know, because I'm going back to Florida and I care about the people, but gosh, honestly, I just feel like, I feel like I'm a pussy. This has been my theme lately. I think I'm a pussy. You know, I can be mean, I can be bold, I can do all this shit on the show and say things, but, you know, when I'm in a crowd, when I'm in real life, I can't fucking even talk to anybody. I can't even look at people in the eye. I mean, this is some sick, sick, sick shit, sick shits. You know, and now I'm giving too much away about myself. Well, what the fuck am I supposed to do? You know, I'm supposed to remain an enigmatic enema. And I can't. It's, what the fuck am I going to talk about? I mean, this is 3+ years now. You know, and it becomes more than just it becomes different. You know, and it's a podcast. It's a bi-directional relationship here with the audience. This is what makes it different. It's easy to forget this when you consider what's happened and... You know, when I go on the Twitter and I see, oh, God, people are so fucking dumb. I just love to do it. It reminds me of when I was on LiveJournal a few years ago, and I used to just have all these friends on LiveJournal just and read what they would say just to torture the living hell out of me. You know, just by like... there's just no answer, you know? There's no answer, and... Yeah. You know, and I'm also, I also tend to be reluctant to talk about these things because people will, you know, inevitably write back, oh, are you okay? Are you okay with all that shit? But see, that's, it's like, I'm actually, you know, I'm not that kind of person who would ever be suicidal or anything like that. And when I'm depressed like this, this is sadness. This is not depression. This is not a Prozac thing. This is not a Wellbutrin thing. It's just real life, non-medicated, deal with it. You know, and I don't drink and I don't take drugs except for the small dosage of antidepressants that I'm on, despite what judgmental twats without real names thinks. But I don't know what to tell you. I don't feel like talking, but I feel like talking a little, maybe. Not, I don't know. Do I? Don't I? Yeah, you ever get these feelings when you're about to metamorphose, but you don't know into what? I just love that fucking word, metamorphose. Metamorphosize. I already wrote the next X-Match. I was going to do that instead of this program, but I thought, you know, I'll leave that for tomorrow. Because that can wait more, because it's kind of mean, you think. And, you know, I have to let it sit before I make sure I want to put something that mean out there, which of course I do. Anyway, sit on my face, cunt.
Hello, Harry. Well, hello, Louis. It's so nice to be back home where I belong. You're looking swell, Manny, I can tell. Danny, you're still glowing, you're still crowing, you're still going strong. I feel the room swaying for the band's playing one of my old favorite songs from way back when. So bridge that gap, fellas, find me an empty lap, fellas, darling, I'll never go away again. Of 14th Street and into my personal haze. But now that I'm back in the lights of 14th Street, tomorrow will be brighter than the good old days.
Those good old days.
Let's thank my lucky star. You're looking great, Stanley. Lose some weight, Stanley. Dolly's overjoyed and overwhelmed and overpowered.
I hear the eyes twinkle, see the eyes twinkle, and you'll still get glances from us.
Golly gee, fellas, find me a vacant knee, fellas.
Dolly'll never go away again.
We'll be right back.
true love said to me, I love you, Mr. Zinchi. I love you, Mr. Zinchi. But I don't celebrate Christmas. Me and Madge Weinstein sailing on a beautiful yacht in the middle of the Caribbean, and it's oh so hot. She looks at me with those big blue Jewish eyes. She says, who the fuck are you and where the fuck am I? It's okay, you're safe. You were with me, Mr. Zichi, in the Caribbean on this beautiful, beautiful yacht. Everything's gotta be okay. Let me go, Mr. Zichi. Let me go, Mr. Zichi. Let me go, Mr. Zichi. I don't want to let you go. Let me go, Mr. Zichi. I don't want to let you go. I don't want to let you go. Let me go, Mr. Zichi. Let me go, Mr. Zichi. You're not going anywhere. You just stay here. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be right, Mitch.